Welcome to Your Family Dog, a podcast dedicated to helping families love living with dogs. Here are your hosts, Julie Fudge-Smith and Colleen Pilar.
Hi, welcome to Your Family Dog. I'm Colleen Pilar, and I'm here today with Julie Fudge-Smith, as always. Today, we're going to be talking about why you might not want to walk your dog. We are big believers in the value of taking your dog out for a sniffari, regular events of walking through the neighborhood, but sometimes you might not want to walk your dog. So, Julie, what do you think about that?
I think that that seems very counterintuitive to most people, but there are really good reasons why you might not want to walk your dog. The first one that comes to mind, at least in this household, is we have a Bernese Mountain Dog, and they have a coat which sort of doubles as, you know, a blanket, and it's very hard for Little Bear in the summer to go for a walk during the day. It's just, I feel like if I were to take him out in the heat of the day, we would really be risking heat stroke for him. So yes, his walks get limited and he gets more exercise. Our yard has a great deal of shade, so we may play with him in the yard. There's always a lot of water available. And if we do go for a walk, it's always late in the afternoon after the heat of the day. And we'll take him up. There's a park next door to us that is on a little hill called Sugarloaf. It's a wannabe hill, really. Seriously, it's not Sugarloaf.
It's an Ohio version of a hill.
Yeah, it's trying really, really hard. It's got great aspirations with the name of Sugarloaf, but it's heavily treed, and it's very cool, and there's lots of breezes. So that's a great place to take the dogs on a hotter day, because I know it's going to be a temperature at which he can probably do fine in the afternoon, but I'm very careful about that. So that's one reason, is that heat may be a huge determining factor for the type of dog that you have.
Yes. Heat is definitely a factor, and it's something that's real easy to forget.
That
we just don't realize how hot they're getting and how easily they could go into heat stroke.
One of the things about heat, too, I was just going to say that I talk about this in my blog on what I saw at the farmer's market, is that during the summer, people love to take their dog down to our local farmer's market. And what I tell them is, put the back of your hand on the pavement. If you cannot leave it there for the full count of 3 to 5 seconds, it's too hot for your dog's pads, and he should not go out.
Yes, so, which is a lot. A lot of the time, it's too hot for that. I mean, a lot of the time. So heat is a very good reason not to walk your dog. Another really good reason to not walk your dog is if there are any health or injury issues for your dog.
Yes.
That if your dog has any sort of problem where it's recovering from an injury, or it has a chronic health issue, hip dysplasia, something like that. Now, obviously, hip dysplasia has a range. There are plenty of dogs with hip dysplasia who go for walks, but there are plenty who don't.
Yes.
So really recognizing what is within your dog's ability, whether or not we want to get out and go through the neighborhood. One side note on this is I have a hip issue of my own, and I went through a period of time when my hip was really bad that I walked really close to my house in just repeated circles, because I never wanted to be more than, you know, really a third of a mile from my house, because if my hip was going to flare up, I did not want to find that I was a mile and a half out on a walk coming back. So recognizing with your dog too, is there going to be a time when you're going to want to get home quickly? Can you get home quickly? So for any sort of health or injury reason, that's a reason to perhaps not walk your dog.
Right. Well, I remember when Buckley, our first burner, was when he was first diagnosed with cancer, and as he was undergoing chemo and starting to come back, I mean, even things like he so wanted to go down to the bus and meet the kids getting off the bus, and that was a 3/4 of a block away. But at 115 pounds, even at 3/4 of a block, I couldn't carry him home. So we started out with, we walked partway down and he waited for the kids and then could walk back. And eventually we worked up to him being able to walk down and back. So, you know, it can be just, I like the fact that you talked about, you know, staying close to home to make it something that he can achieve. And he was so excited when he could finally walk all the way down to the block. And So it's the kind of thing that to keep in mind realistic goals if there's a health issue.
And he probably got nearly as much joy out of being halfway to the bus stop and having kids meet him there. You know, what he wanted was the opportunity to get out and see something and do something and have an experience. And for most dogs, that's the full walk. It's the full thing. But for a dog who's having a health issue, sometimes it really is that we're going to walk out and get the mail. Yay! And the dog goes, that was amazing. I hope it comes again tomorrow.
I remember that when I had my foot surgery and I could finally, you know, walk using crutches. It was like, this is really cool. Look, Brad, I can go down the hallway, you know.
The simple pleasures in life that we take for granted until they're taken away.
That's right.
And then we really recognize that some of these things really are wonderful.
Yeah, so I think about it oftentimes now when I'm just running up and down the stairs thinking to myself, I am not going to take this for granted anymore. I really appreciate the fact that I can walk up and down the stairs and I'm not worried about my crutches slipping out from underneath me, or how am I going to get back up if I'm too tired. And
right.
So it works for people too. So what's another reason? So we have heat and we have health and recovering from an injury.
Well, one really common reason that comes up with a lot of my clients is their own dog's reactivity is so extreme to people or other dogs or anything that moves that they have difficulty being out. And so in most cases, we try to manage the environment. And I used to sort of start class with welcome to the Midnight Dog Walkers Club, because, you know, pretty much there aren't too many people walking in the dark with their dog. And so it tends to be the reactive dog owners who are out there going, okay, here's our chance. We can get a little walk in. But if it's too hard for your dog and the dog isn't going to be successful and you're going to have a terrible time and they're going to have a terrible time, then don't do it. Find other ways to give your dog mental and physical outlets while you work on the behavior.
Right.
So that's a really important piece, because we often feel bad. We often think like, oh, I'm a terrible person because I'm not walking my dog. But if it's not helping your dog, if it's making your dog worse or more anxious or more reactive, then let's not do that right now.
Right.
Let's have a time where we're not.
And if you're wondering whether or not you should be out there with your reactive dog, or whether this is too much, or am I not doing enough, get yourself a trainer who can help you make some of those decisions. Because I had a client whose a little dog was playing at a dog park, and he was getting ready to leave, and out of the blue, just from nowhere, another dog came and attacked his little guy. And from that point on, his dog was highly reactive to other dogs, because it was really scary. It came out of the blue and it hit me. So one of the things that we did to help Charlie become more accustomed to dogs is, this was when I still had three dogs, when I had Buckley, Hudson, and Bingley. And so I had my daughter and her boyfriend park the car with the three dogs. Oh, I'm so terrible at distance, Colleen. Probably two...
Closer far.
Far. They parked far, but at least two blocks away. And then we had Charlie in the front yard. Charlie or Oscar, we worked with both of his dogs. And he was on a leash. And meanwhile, Warren and I had done a lot of work about getting the dog to turn. When Warren would say his name, happy, the dog would turn and Warren would be animated and so on and so forth. So we started out with getting one dog out at a time and then standing in front of the car where they couldn't see... Charlie couldn't see, and then Emma would walk out and walk back. Mm-hmm. And this was probably a block and a half away. Yeah. And then when Charlie would notice the dog, look back at Warren, get a treat. And we did this with all three dogs, and then we did it from, you know, we shortened up the distance until finally Charlie could be in the front yard, and one of my dogs could actually walk by down on the street, and he wouldn't react. He would turn back to Warren. It took us a while to get there, but now he can actually take his dogs for a walk because he's got a strategy. And he would see, he ever so slowly conditioned him to say, okay, most dogs here are not a big deal. They're just over there. But there is one part of his neighborhood with a highly reactive dog that rushes the fence every time, and we just don't walk there because it's too much for his dog. so he can walk the entire neighborhood right. except for that one corner. And he's happy with that.
Right. And that brings up one other variable in which you might not want to walk dogs, which is it safe to walk in your neighborhood? In that case, that dog is presumably by a fence in a yard, and so it's just that Charlie doesn't want to walk past this yard. He's technically safe. He's just being threatened from behind a fence. But there are a lot of neighborhoods where there are many loose dogs. And if dogs are coming running out at your dog and you while you're walking your dog, that can be a really unsafe environment too.
Yes, it can.
So it may not be a great idea to strap on a leash and walk outside and put your dog into that situation or yourself into that situation on a regular basis.
Right, and just because the dog's on an invisible fence does not mean he's not going to blast through that invisible fence and come after your dog. I've seen that too many times as well. So one of the things I recommend in that case is because who wants your dog to be attacked by another dog, which would then cause your dog, which is what happened to poor little Charlie, cause him to be therefore mm-hmm. reactive. Put your dog in the car and drive to a neighborhood that you know doesn't have a lot of loose dogs and walk there. It may not be ideal, but the problem is, as we've talked before, you cannot change other people's behaviors. You cannot force them to lock their dogs up while your dog is taking a walk. So in that particular mm-hmm. case, you have to be the one who moves to a more safe environment for your dog. And unfortunately, that's just the way it is at times.
And it does definitely vary by neighborhood. I mean, there are certainly neighborhoods where it's just sort of, that's the way it is here. People let that happen. And there are neighborhoods and it's like, no, that never happens here.
Right.
I mean, if there's a loose dog, it's because something bad happened and we have to go catch the dog and see if we can free his tag and get him home because you don't see loose dogs. So that then becomes very, and those neighborhoods could be very close together too. It's not like we're talking like, oh, in this state, this is how it is. And in that state, it's different.
That's right. So if you live in Ohio, you don't have to go to Nebraska to walk your dog. There should be a neighborhood somewhere in Ohio where you can walk your dog. So,
and one thing to look at for me when I'm talking to clients about it is look at the fences in the neighborhood mm-hmm. because I live in the Northern Virginia area, and some of the newer neighborhoods have these homeowners associations that have very strict rules on fencing because they don't want the yards to be unattractive. So they have fences that are really not dog safe. And that means a greater incidence of the electronic collars mm-hmm. and invisible fences. And a greater incidence of, you know, chicken wire and stuff behind a fence so the dogs are seeing everything go by and barking all the time about what they see. That's not the neighborhood we want to walk any dog with special needs in.
Correct.
We would really prefer to find an older neighborhood where there's lots of ugly, unfriendly, serious fences that dogs are happily sleeping in their backyards and ignoring all the neighbors going by. Those are great.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, and ask your friends. You know, most mm-hmm. of us who have dogs know dog people and ask them, what's it like to walk in your neighborhood? The other thing that can be helpful, too, that I have found is that if I'm walking, sometimes it's helpful to walk with another dog. Mm-hmm. Sometimes just when I would have all three of my dogs, they seem to be less reactive because they would be turning to one another. Sometimes that doesn't work. Sometimes you take another dog along and it really increases reactivity. So, but for some dogs that works pretty well too. And I offer a class, and I don't know, this might be something that other people do, is called Walking Granville, which I've talked about before, where we get mm-hmm. together and I teach people how to walk your dog through our little village with its own special little gauntlet in front of the ice cream store. where everybody wants to go in the summer with their dog. So, you know, ask if you're working with a trainer. You know, you can learn to walk in class, but you can also hire a trainer to walk with you in a neighborhood mm-hmm. and say, you know, can you help me learn how to walk my neighborhood? And how do I handle this particular incident over here? And, you know, sometimes the best way to handle that is the same way we did in Charlie's neighborhood, which is we're just not going to walk around that corner because it's just not mm-hmm. worth the anxiety that it causes Charlie. It's just too reminiscent of the trauma that he experienced. So there's plenty of other places to walk. So sometimes management is the best thing, but it's nice to know from a trainer, let's just manage this one. And if you have to do that, you know, put a this full of treats in his nose, and let's scurry on by this dog.
Yes. Yes.
But,
and I think for many dogs, having a new place to walk is really exciting and interesting. But for any dog with any of these concerns, having a planned route where you know what to expect is very helpful, because we don't want the surprise of this is a bad spot or this is a good spot. So, I mean, I love the novelty of I have at every corner I decide left, right, or straight, whatever we want. It's all great. Terrific. Wonderful. Unless you have a dog with issues.
That's
in which
right.
case, know where you're going. Know what's ahead. Know what's behind. Know what to expect. Because it makes a huge difference. But I think it's wonderful to walk your dog. But if you don't walk your dog, then we just need to be looking at how are we giving this dog all of the mental and physical outlets that it needs. And that is doable. It really is doable.
It is.
It's not as easy, but it's doable. So it's okay to not walk your dog as long as we're still providing a really great quality of life for your dog that has all of those outlets.
Right. Including, because you can do intelligence toys in your yard. You can do them in the house. You can play hide-and-go-seek games. There's all different kinds of things you can do to really enrich your dog's life. The other thing I wanted to say is that having a planned route is really good, not just for reactive dogs, but it's also good for dogs that have other issues like they're blind or they're deaf, so that they have a predictable route. And I'm just going to check my P-mail on these three posts, and especially for blind dogs, it can be extraordinarily scary to be in a new environment. But if we have a planned route that I know we're going to go on, it then allows you to successfully walk a dog with physical issues, not just behavioral issues.
Yes. Sounds like we've kind of wrapped up the subject.
I think so.
What do you think?
I think so. I think that it's just important to understand that having a dog that has special needs may require that you walk in special ways. That you either, you know, limit the amount of walk, have a special route that you know is going to be successful for him, or maybe we just don't walk because we're too old or we're too sick or we're just too reactive or our neighborhood is too difficult. So we're going to provide you with a lot of other ways in which you can have mental or physical stimulation. You know, you can even in your own backyard, if you need to give your dog some physical activities, set up some of those little agility courses we talked about in some of our other ones. You know, put a couple of broomsticks over some buckets, give him a hula hoop to run through, have him work over, work through a ladder, you know, walk on a board.
Or even doing the scent trails,
right.
Or even just flinging treats around that the dog runs around and finds. There's so many really simple things that just would make your dog go, yay!
Yeah. Yes, and especially the scent trail. I kind of like that one because most dogs want to go out for a sniffari, as Zazie would say. So if you can't take them out for one, then provide them with their own personalized sniffari in the backyard.
Yeah, so you know what? We'll put a link to that episode with the scent trail tips from Wendy. And we'll link that in case anyone wants to go back and learn how to create a scent trail in their own backyard or their living room or wherever you want to create a scent trail.
That's right.
To give your dog a little bit of a fun activity if you cannot walk your dog. If you can walk your dog, please do walk your dog.
Yes.
But if you can't walk your dog, that is okay. Let's just find ways to make your dog have a really great life.
Right. And I think we should also link then back again to our podcast on intelligence toys. As a reminder of some of the things that you can do for your dog. So, all right. The only thing I think we want to add is if you like us, please tell a friend and give us a review on iTunes. And we have some great places that we are now being listened to, like India. And let me think, some of the other places that came up. Spain. We have a listener in Spain, which I thought was pretty exciting. And so if you want to leave us a message, please do so. Call or send us an email. We'd love to hear from you. And if you have any questions or suggestions, we'd love to hear that. So,
see you next week.
See you next week. Thanks, Colleen.
Thanks for listening to Your Family Dog. Got questions? Interesting ideas? Colleen and Julie would love to hear them. Call 614-349-1661 or visit www.yourfamilydogpodcast.com to share your thoughts.
Have you visited our website lately? In addition to our previous episodes, we also have a list of resources that you and your dog may enjoy. Check it out at yourfamilydogpodcast.com.